Okay, we were discussing this morning, we were learning this morning about Bris Milah Docha Shabbos. So there's a big topic, of course, and it brought down some tshuvas. I think it's important. One of the things I think in yeshiva that's not emphasized enough is halacha l'maisa, liba d'hilchasa. Lamdus and Pilpul is all very much learned and all very, very important. We'll see what the Ramchal says about that in general next week, Mirza Hashem on Wednesday, what his feelings are about Pilpul. But we all learn, and the yeshivas learn in such a way, but oftentimes we don't come with the halacha l'maisa. It has to do with either it's not as exciting, or you're learning baba kamas and there's not too much halacha l'maisa that's so relevant. So you can always find things. But guys walk away from yeshiva not learning anything in halacha, and they don't realize it's the importance of learning halacha. So I figured it'd be a good opportunity to see how the some of the mainstream posts can deal with some shilas that do relate to Hilcha Shabbos and Bris Milah. So the first question is, how do we know that Bris Milah is in fact Docha Shabbos? So the Gemara on Daf Kuf Amud Beis brings a few different sources. Either Halacha Moshe MiSinai is one approach, or because of Gzer Shava, of Os and Doros, and Bris, and then the Gemara suggests maybe because B'Yom HaShmini, Afilu B'Shabbos. So there are different sources. Everyone's in agreement that certainly Bris Milah Bismano is Docha Shabbos, and Bris Milah Shalo Bismano is not Docha Shabbos. We already discussed last week a little bit, we touched upon some chiluk in between Bismano and Shlo Bismano. We said, Sudas Bris Milah is Shaykh for Bismano, but it's not Shaykh for Shlo Bismano. So Shabbos being Docha is another nafkamina. There's another interesting Marsha, just as a side point. The Marsha tries to prove that this concept of Yugim Brisos of a Bris Milah is only Shaykh for Bismano, it's not Shaykh for Shlo Bismano. So there's a large discussion amongst the Achronim. So we're discussing Mila Bismano, that's Docha Shabbos, based on the few suggestions the Gemara throws out. So one thing we discussed in the first year we may mention of, which I'm going to just elaborate a little bit now, is whether or not when we say that Bris Mila is Docha Shabbos, is it Biderech Hutra or Biderech Duchuya? Those are the terms that the Gemara uses in Yuma. We're talking about Tuma is Docha Tzibur. Let's say the entire Tzibur is Tameh, or Rove of the Tzibur is Tameh, you're allowed to do the Avoda. So the Gemara says, is that Hutra B'Tzibur or is that D'chuya B'Tzibur? So that Chakira, whenever there's a something pushing something else, you say Hutra D'chuya. Next week, for example, we're going to learn the concept of Asi Docha Lo Sasei. The Bris Milah, and there's a Tzaras B'Makam Milah, so we could do a Milah, even though there's Tzaras and there's an Issa D'Raisa to remove Tzaras. So Asi Docha Lo Sasei, we're going to discuss this concept of something being Docha something else. The Chakira is always, is a Hutra, or is it a Dechuya? So the Rishonim debate this with regards to Mila on Shabbos, is a Hutra Dechuya. So one raya that they bring is a Tosos here in Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, where Tosos is talking about the concept of Tzaras, that the Indian of Tzaras is Docha, of Bris Mila's Docha Tzaras. So he quotes Shitas Reish Lakish, is the very top Tosos on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, that Reish Lakish says, if you're Efshir, if it's possible to avoid. To avoid it, whenever you're trying to avoid, the nafkamina of dechuy versus hutra. Hutra is you don't ask questions, just go weiter. Just do what you need to do. And dechuy is you try to minimize the isurim if possible. You try to avoid it if possible. So it's clear from Tosus on the top of Kuf Lamed Amud Beis that tzaras, that the milas docha tzaras, is only bederech dechuya. So some say, just like Bris Milah is docha tzaras bederech dechuya, so to Bris Milah's Docha Shabbos B'derech Duchuya as well. Bris Milah only has a very weak ability to push things off. It's always B'derech Duchuya. And other Rishonim say no. Just because Bris Milah's Docha Tzaras B'derech Duchuya doesn't mean when it's Docha Shabbos, it's also B'derech Duchuya. It could be B'derech Hutra. Each case has to be analyzed separately. And therefore, many Rishonim hold that Bris Milah is Docha Shabbos B'derech Hutra. Okay, so that's a machlokas Rishonim, Dechuya versus Hutra. Interestingly, the Chassam Sofer says that's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim and the Mishnah. The Rabbi Eliezer says everything's Docha, Machshir is Docha, go right through the Rishis Rabbim, because Rabbi Eliezer assumes it's Hutra. And Chacham holds it's Dechuya, therefore they're trying to avoid this, trying to avoid that. And that's what he thinks is actually the machlokas Tanayim, but it certainly trickles down to the Rishonim as well, Hutra versus Dechuya. So there's an interesting Shulchan Aruch, which is not on your Mar Makomos, but it's found in Hilchos Milah, in Yardea, Reish Samich Vav, Siv Yadal. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, that Yesh Lizahir Shelo yamulu shnei mo'alin mila achas b'shabbos. Shezei yamul v'zei yifrom. We haven't discussed this yet, but the Gemara is going to discuss there's a ma'isa mila and there's a ma'isa priya. And maybe, again, I'll bring Rabbi Perlstein in to explain some of the technical aspects to explain what exactly the priya is. But after the mila, you pull back some of the makum ha'mila, and that's priya. There's two steps, mila and priya. And we'll discuss this at greater length, but with Mechaber saying on Shabbos, you shouldn't have two mo'alim do this. In theory, one mo'al could do the mila, the other mo'al could do the priya, but on Shabbos, one shouldn't do this. Ela hamal hu atzmo yifra. The one who does the mila should do the priya. There are no rights there. I haven't found any proof. I looked really through all the different to be shown him. I didn't find such a proof. The other rabbi, I found the opposite to be the case. Nearly deshari, you're allowed to deha mila docha Shabbos. Mila's docha Shabbos kemo avoda b'mikdash. Just like you could do avoda in the base of mikdash, and you're shechting animals, you're violating various averas. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos in the base of mikdash. Shekama koanim hayu ovdim. How many koanim are involved in the avoda? The Mishnah Yuma says there are like 13 Kohanim that are involved in the Tumid. One guy shechted, one guy did this, one guy carried this, one guy carried this, and they split it all up in different ways. So just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you're able to have multiple people do the different avodas. So too, on the Bris Milah, multiple Mo'alim could be involved in the Bris Milah. And look at the language of the Ramah. He says, "De Shabbos niten litchos." You could push off Shabbos. Hareyu kechol lechol davar. It's mamish kechol. That's in essence the Ramah screaming at us, saying that it's hutcher. You don't have to ask any questions. Shabbos and Bris Milah. Bris Milah is hutcher on Shabbos. While the Mechaber says, no, have the same guy do it. You shouldn't have two people doing it. So the Mechaber assumes that's a dechuya, and therefore only let one mal do this. Halach lemaisa, in the end of the day, the Ramah writes that v'al kein tov lahachmir anyways, lechachila, Avapisha Medina nearly Meshikasafti. Even though the Ramah thinks it's correct that the two Mo'alim are allowed to do the Mila because it's Harei Kechol Chodavar, he does pull back a little bit and say we should be Machmer for the Mechaber and only have one Mo'al do this. So in the Ber Gra and other Achram talk about this question of Hutcher Dechuya, that seems to be the Machlokis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Gra does bring an interesting raya that he wants to prove that the mila is only dechuya, because the Gemara says, how do we know pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos? So one of the rayas is we learn from Bris Mila. Because if Bris Mila, which is only Eiver Echad, is docha Shabbos, so certainly pikuach nefesh, which is the entire guf, is also docha Shabbos. And the din is that pikuach nefesh is only dechuya. So if pikuach nefesh is dechuya, Bris Mila is also going to be dechuya. So these are the different opinions whether or not Bris Milah is a Hutra or a Duchuya. So there's a fascinating discussion, I showed this to Eitan, and the Piskei Shuris brings down from a number of the different poskim about whether or not, so let's be clear, we haven't seen this yet either, but Milah Bismana B'yom HaShemini is Docha Shabbos. If a child is born from a Yotei Dofen, a C-section, everyone agrees it's not Docha Shabbos. That's a Mefurish Gemara. So there's a question about what about a child who was conceived through IVF. The child was born naturally, a natural birth, but the conception was done through IVF, and there's different ways of IVF. So this is a big discussion in the poskim. So he brings down, he records all the different svarim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he said one way, he was chozer, Rav Yashiv, Rav Shechter weighs in, not here, but Rav Shechter weighs in, Rav Asher Weiss has his opinion. So he explains here, what is the idea whether or not an IVF child can be docha Shabbos or not? So he explains as a sugi in Chagiga Daf Yudal and Beis, which talks about a child that is conceived nisabra bambatya, which means let's say a man was taking a bath and some zera was there in the bath, and then afterwards an akeva came in and she became pregnant. So we can ask Shilas medically that can't really happen. It's hard to understand how that would happen because the zera can't remain, they have the ability to be collate if it's not in the body. But however it happened, the Gemara talks about it. So there, the Rabbi Nachman explains it was Maisa Nisim. It was Maisa Nisim that took place there because it's not a natural thing for a person to get pregnant in such a way. These are Maisa Nisim. And based on this, Rabbi Nachman, he says it doesn't have a regular din of Isha Kisazriya. Isha kisa zriya, when a woman becomes pregnant and she gives birth, she has tumas leida. This is not called an isha kisa zriya. This is ma'isa nisim. And ma'isa nisim is not subject to any of the halachas of a tumas leida and all the things related to birth. So they say here as well, an IVF is a b'toras ma'isa nisim, and it's not b'derech teva, and therefore it shouldn't be docha Shabbos. That's how many poskim assume. But then the response back is that Rosh Shlomo Zalman apparently was chozer, the Rav Vazer weighs in. He says, no, this isn't Maisa Nisim. He just finishes the piece. No, IVF isn't Maisa Nisim, it's Maisa Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to tap into how science works. So granted, they didn't know about this 50 years ago, but now we do know about this. We discovered science. That's not Maisa Nisim. This is Bederech HaTeva still. And therefore, it would be falling under the category of Yom HaShmini Afilu B'Shabbos. Yeah, John. Rabbeinu Chanan said it's only by Tumas Leida, but the poskim would try to extend this to a Bris Mila as well.
By the case in the Gemara, but then they want to apply it to IVF.
Exactly. They apply it to IVF and also to a Bris Mila case as well. And again, the Rabbeinu Chanan is a Das Yachid. It's not talking about Bris Mila. And who's to say that his this same comparison IVF can be learned from this case in Abadia? Now, there are many other nafkaminas about IVF. Is a person yotze puravu through IVF. So that's a big discussion Minchas Chinuch has in the mitzvah puravu. He talks about whether puravu is it's a mitzvah in the maisa or if it's a mitzvah in the totsa. So what does it mean the mitzvah in the maisa? You have to have children. So the din is no, the maisa is the mitzvah, but the maisa is nigmar when there's children. But it's really a din in the maisa. Or no, pashup shad is when one has children. So IVF is not a ma'isa biya, but there's a totza. There are children that result from this. So IVF would seem to be a nafkamina between whether it's a din in the ma'isa or din in the totza. It's a big discussion. Minchas Chinuch has a number of nafkaminas related to this. Poskim talk about, let's say a child is produced through IVF and it's through arayos. Let's say a brother and a sister. An egg from a sister and a zera from the brother, and they create an IVF. They create a child. Did that child the mamzer now? Have the parents violated any yisurim? No, they didn't violate any yisurim because there was no ma'isavia. But can you still assume that the child's a mamzer because the zera came from a mixture of siblings? So this discussion Rav Moshe has and others when it comes to IVF. But for our purposes, this is a big machlokas whether an IVF child can be docha Shabbos or not. And most poskim assume, Rav Shechter says it cannot be docha Shabbos, but most poskim assume, Rav Asher Weiss among them, that it can be, it should be docha Shabbos. Okay, so now let's get to some halacha l'maisa down to the nitty-gritty and what happens exactly when a child is born and the Bris Mila takes place on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear, as we know, that a Bris Mila, Bismana is Docha Shabbos. But what happens, let's say, the Erev went down and the knife, the Ismael, is somewhere else. So how do you get the baby to the Mol or the Mol and the Ismael to the baby? What are you supposed to do? And Shulchan Aruch says a very important halacha when it comes to Amir L'Akam. So he says that certainly a Jew can be bringing back and forth the baby or the Ismail. That's not going to be Docha Shabbos, because only the Maisa Mil is Docha Shabbos, but not the Machshir, not that which leads to it. So there a Yid can't be Docha Shabbos with regards to bringing the Ismail or bringing the baby. But to tell a non-Jew, Mechaber says, Lomer Leini Yehudi, then that's allowed. Im hudavar shimaso yisrael ein bo yisrael midirbanim. If it's an isra midirbanim for me to do, like walking and carrying in a carmelis, that's only a dirbanim, that's a shvus. So to tell a goy, which is another shvus, amir l'akam is another shvus, we say shvus to shvus, but malkum mitzvah is mutter. So for me to tell a goy to do an isra dirbanim, but malkum mitzvah, that's allowed. So, but if it's a davar, an isra min haTorah, if it's an isra deraisa, so then I would not be allowed to tell a goy to do an isra deraisa. I cannot tell a goy to carry my child if it's reshus harabim. So that's a very important klal in Amir L'Akum. Just as a basic background for you guys to know about Amir L'Akum, whenever dealing with questions of Amir L'Akum, you always have to deal with two issues. Number one is giving them a command, a tzava. And number two is getting hana. You can't get hana. There are two different points, two different aspects of Amir L'Akum. So for example, when the lights are turned off, that's not called hana. That's removing hana. That's allowed in terms of hana, but I can't tell a goy to do it. So if I tell a goy to turn off the light, so I violate an isra of mila akum, but I didn't violate the isra of hana because they just removed light. So that won't be good. Or let's say I didn't tell them to do anything, but they turned on the light, so they're creating hana. That's going to be also, even though I didn't say anything, it's still hana I'm getting, that's isra. So either giving a command or getting hana, or certainly both, that would be violation of amila akam.
Even if you're getting hana from the lights being off?
Yeah.
Or it's just a general
light. Yeah, they say lights being, even though I'm benefiting from it, that's not called hana, that's called removing hana. Even though I might benefit from that, that's not called hana apiyal akam. So that's why if you need a certain situation, so let's say turning off lights, so then I could hint to the goy. I didn't say a thing. I didn't do a command. I hinted. And I'm not getting hana because they turned the lights off. So that's situations where mila akum is permitted. So that's in general. But also in certain situations where there's a tzarech mitzvah, there's a tzarech, if someone's in tzar, someone's in pain, so then you could do, you could even give a tzava. You could command, the shvus to shvus. You say, I need my child to be carried from here to there. So then that's a mira that's allowed. If shvus to shvus, an isa derbanam, b'malka mitzvah, so that's going to be permitted. So now the so which one's better? So let's say you have the situation where you know you're expecting the mole to come to shul on Shabbos morning, and then the Erev falls down, a big storm, and the Erev's down. So now what do you do? The child's at home, and the mole's wherever he is with his bag, and he can't carry the knife because there's no Erev anymore. So what should a person do? So if it's a karmless only, so then you could have a goy carry something to bring it to the baby. So now, is it better to bring the baby to the mole, to the knife, or is it better to bring the knife to the baby? Which one is better? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, remember we saw that Tosfos right in the beginning? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes his Tosfos that says it's better to bring the knife to the baby, because if you bring the baby to the knife, then after the meal is over, you have to bring the baby back to the mother again, you have to go in to carry twice. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you have to bring the knife to the baby. That's what he assumes. Now, is there ever a situation where you could even tell the goy to carry in Rosh Hashanah? Let's say you're in Brooklyn or you're in Manhattan, and let's assume for a second those places are Rosh Hashanah. Is there ever a heter to carry the baby or the knife in Rosh Hashanah? So in general, the Ramah actually has a din that shvus to shvus, amil akum, on even a deraisa is allowed b'makom mitzvah. It's based on a sugya about, let's say, a person's trying to buy in Eretz Yisrael, buy property in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Gittin and Erevin says that you could do a mila akum even for ksiva. Even though ksiva is deraisa, you could have the goy write a contract for you for those purposes of yishuv aretz. So it's not shvus to shvus. They extend the mila akum even to deraisa. It's not shvus to shvus anymore. It's a mila akum on a deraisa. But that's the sugya where they discuss this from. And therefore they say, so Sama Rama says that in certain cases you could do a milakam even on deraisa in great need. So even though the Rama brings this, so we don't assume this way normally. We don't assume you could be docha deraisa. A milakam doesn't work in a deraisa. But that being said, the Mishnah Berurah says in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah nowadays, he says, firstly, if a one person wants to do this for a mila and have a child carried Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, so for a mila, which is a very significant mitzvah, so hamekel v'asomech al divrayim lo hifsid. You want to rely on the Ramah who allows even deraisas for the purpose of mila, that's completely fine, those who want to be lenient. And moreover, bizman hazeh, there really is no Rosh Hashanah Rabbah deraisas anyways. Why not? Because the definition of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is 16 amos wide, the road has to be 16 amos wide, plus it has to have 600,000 people going through. Now, how to count 600,000 people? It's machlokus of people who live there, people who are there at the same time, people who are passing through the day, whatever the definition is, it's very uncommon for there to be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and therefore he wouldn't ever be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah anyways, other than perhaps Manhattan and Brooklyn, and therefore the Ramah says, rather the Mishnah Berurah says, there is room to makel even on carrying through what's known as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Okay, he discusses other Indian Bir Lacha. He just quotes other, I'm not sure anyone saw the Bir Lacha inside, but talks about other examples of where maybe the Raisa might be relevant. So let's say the mole needs to fix his nail. So then he needs a nail for the Priya. Again, I don't know the Metzias how it works exactly, but he needs to fix it in such a way where he's able to do the Priya, get underneath the Arla to do Priya properly. So So let's say he didn't prepare it before Shabbos. Is he allowed to ask a goy to fix the nail? Now that's a violation of gozes, of cutting nails. It's an issur deraisa. And he says, but let's say a woman goes to, she needs to go to the mikveh Friday night. And one of the, you know, she has to check for all chatitas. And let's say she forgot to cut her nails. So nails are considered chatitza for a woman. Now that's a big discussion. Why is a nail chatitza for women? So some say because underneath a nail some dirt could get stuck. So you have to cut it off so there's no dirt stuck there. Others say it's a chatitza because since normally they cut it short, so if it's hanging over, that's called a chatitza. So whatever the reason is, there's a chatitza by nails. So what happens, let's say it's a leil tefillah Friday night and she forgot to cut her nails. So is she allowed to have a goy cut the nails for her? And the answer is she's allowed to have a goy cut the nails for her in order for her to go to the mikveh, that there shouldn't be a problem of a chatitza. So he says that might only be by a nida, because by nida it's not really a tikkun. It's not really fixing anything. You're not creating anything. It's not really nisa deraisa. But when it comes to a moel, we're fixing and fashioning the nail so that it could be used as a kli for the priya. That would be a nisa deraisa, and it's not so clear that a person is allowed to have that fixed. So the Chassam Sofer says that a moel should not do this. Really should not do this because it would be a violation of an issa deraisa, and we don't allow a goy to violate an issa deraisa even for bismillah. He discusses what if the knife isn't fixed properly, could you fix the knife? These are various questions that come up when for a moel. It's not relevant for us so much, but these are dine deraisa that come up and dine derabanan on Shabbos that come up when it comes to a bismillah on Shabbos. Now, other questions that come up is after the bismillah. I know some of you saw the footnotes in the Dirshu. What happens after the bris milah? So again, just throwing Rashi Prakim out right now. The Ismail is a muksa machmas chesun kis. Something that is expensive, something that you don't want to get ruined, is called a muksa machmas chesun kis. So for example, a knife using for shechita, the shochet doesn't want you to touch it, it could get ruined. So that's a muksa machmas chesun kis. So what happens after the meal is over? So I don't need it anymore. Right? Something that's muksa, I'm allowed to use for litzarech gufa, a hammer. Hammer is muksa. So a hammer, if I want to open up a shell, I'll open up a nut, I'm allowed to break open the nut because it's for litzarech gufa. But the moment I'm done with the hammer, so I can't use it anymore, it's muksa. So same thing with Ismail. Ismail is muksa, it's muksa machmas chesun kis. So when I'm using it for litzarech mila, so that's allowed. But the moment it's over, so then it's now considered muksa. What am I supposed to do with this? So they discuss this in the poskim that, once you're holding it, you could carry it to wherever you need to carry it. But let's say the mole needs to go home. The guy, the person comes here for a bris milah often. So he comes, he wants to bring his bag home. He doesn't want to leave it here. He doesn't want to get damaged. Doesn't want to get stolen. So now, does he have to hold his knife the rest of the way home? Right? The din is, if you hold something muksa, b'derech heter. So now, once I'm holding it, I can move it wherever I want. So now he needs to walk home holding the knife all the way home, because the moment he drops it, he can't use it anymore. No, certainly not. So one of the heterim they explain here is you put it in a bag with the other dvar mutarim in it. So I could carry the bag because dvar mutarim in it. So b'meila I could carry the muksa items as well. So that's what the Rav Perlstein and other molim do. So that's how you deal with the Ismail. They talk about, there's a practice. Hopefully we'll do the sugya. We know the chiv of the bris milah is on the father. Right? First and foremost, it's on the father. We'll discuss, I think, next week, maybe a little bit, is the mitzvah on the ben, the mitzvah on the father. The mitzvah chinuch has such a chakira. It's really the mitzvah on the father. Or it's really on the son. The son certainly is incapable. He's incapable of doing it. He's 8 days old. So now the father is carrying out the chiv that's really on the son to do the milah. That's a chakira that the mitzvah chinuch has. We assume normally the chiv is on the father. So now what happens is the father has a chiv to give a bris milah to his son. So now, when he appoints a mole, the mole has to represent him. The mole has to be a shliach for him. We'll discuss, there's a rush and there's a Ramah about this being memaneh shliach. So it's really my chiv. So I appoint the mole to represent me, to be my shliach. So now when you're memaneh shliach, there's an inyan to lift something up, to make a kinyan. Like when you sell your chametz with the rav, so you pick something up. Now, if you do it here with Rav Weinberger, you pick up his gartel. That's what they pick up the gartel. Different places, different things. Okay, a pen, a yarmulke, whatever. So you make a kinyan shlichus that way. So now there's a practice amongst the molim. You want to miman him a shliach, to appoint him to be the shliach. So should there be some minoy shlichus? Should you lift something up? So the practice is to lift up the ismail, the knife. This is the knife. I'm giving it to the mole to do the bris milah. So can that be done on Yom Tov, Shabbos? Rather, that's Muksa at that point. So this is something that they discuss. Some posts can frown upon this, or Vayashev's quoted in the Dir Shur that he says it's allowed to be done. It's something that's part of the process, and therefore it's certainly allowed. What to do with the Arla afterwards? Arla's removed, it's Muksa, nothing to do with this. So that's also Muksa. See, these are questions that they deal with regards to Shabbos and Bris Milah. So you got to see some interesting tshuvas that the poskim dealt with regards to a mila on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe was asked a very interesting question. I didn't really get the question. I thought that, you know, Rav Moshe was just really entertaining the show a little bit. And he wanted to know, is it possible to go to a place where you're going to do a mila? Could a mol be a mila, give a mila if he's going to a place where he's going to see Chil Shabbos? Is that allowed? So I don't know what the shaila is. Yeah, you certainly shouldn't see things that are inappropriate, and you shouldn't see people Michal Shabbos. And the Gemara in Chagiga says you shouldn't look at a face of Rasha. All these things you shouldn't see. But we're talking about Bris Mila here. So that, certainly, the Bris Mila is going to be, if it's Docha Shabbos, certainly it's Docha the Isser to see people Michal Shabbos. So I don't understand the question. Ramosha says it's permitted, certainly. But along the way, there's a fascinating raya that the Ramosha brought. I thought, how do we know it's Usser to see someone be Michal Shabbos? So I would have brought the Gemara in Chagiga that says you can't look at a Rasha. It's also to look at the face of a Rasha. That's why I would have thought is the Raya. He says not. It could be because people Michal Shabbos are not necessarily Rishayim. People Michal Shabbos could be Am Haaretz. They just don't know any better. That's not a Rasha. A Tinuk Shenishma is not a Rasha. So he brought an interesting Raya from the Gemara in Yuma, where there was a big Indian in Yom HaKippurim that everyone would go out and they would all, it's the mitzvah liros basiyas mitzvah. There's an Indian to go see the mitzvah of the Yom HaKippur, of the Kohen Gadol. So there's an Indian to see to witness a mitzvah. And so at the same time, there should be an iser to see an avera. That was his raya from this. So I was once zocha a number of years ago. There was a chalitza case, a chalitza in Brooklyn. So someone told me about this. So I went to go witness this chalitza, this in to see a mitzvah. So I went to, I couldn't do a mitzvah, Baruch Hashem, you don't want to do a mitzvah chalitza, but to be zochah to see such a mitzvah, that's an inyan. So I went there, but I felt so bad because we were packed into this decent sized shul in Brooklyn, and like people were like hanging over the rafters, all these yeshiva bachim hanging like over the mechitzas, like watching what was going on. And there's two, there's a man and a woman, she lost her husband, and she was older, it was like a, I don't know how religious they were, if at all, but they're like standing on a stage, and there's some rabbis, and the rabbis are like, she was like spitting, and they're like measuring the spit and like the shoe, and I felt like very uncomfortable that we were all like hanging over, that they were like, it's like some circus that was going on there. But there is an inn to see a mitzvah. You know, the case of the sota, the whole idea of the sota is that why we do sota, we don't want to have it hidden. We want everyone to see. We want all the women to see the sota, to see what happens, so they shall learn from this not to do similar types of acts. So there is an inyan of seeing a mitzvah, and there's an inyan of not seeing averos either. So that I thought was very fascinating from this tshuva of Rav Moshe. Nonetheless, certainly one, if it wants him all, he should go to a place, even though he might see Mechalei Shabbos. Now then they talk about, what about, should a mol travel? She leave his family for Shabbos or Yom Tov in order to perform Mila. So in five towns it's not so shayach, because they have a number of ma'alim in Farak, where they walk back and forth all the time. So when we had my, that case I spoke about for Yisrael Meir, when his bris was on, during Hurricane Sandy, so it was on Shabbos at my parents' house. So there were no ma'alim available in Tinek. So Rabbi Perlstein had to come to my parents' house for Shabbos. And we had a great time with him, but he was not with us. Now, the truth is, his house got ruined in Hurricane Sandy as well. But his in-laws, right, Pesach Kron is his father-in-law. So he was living at his in-laws, so I don't think he minded so much taking a break, coming for Shabbos. So he took one of his sons, and they spent Shabbos with my family in Tinek. It was a very, very nice Shabbos. But the question is, does a mole have to actually to go to such a great extent to perform the Bris Milah? Is that his obligation? So they talk about his Onik Shabbos. He has his own Onik Shabbos, how he enjoys it, or Yontif, Simchas Yontif. So on one hand, should you say Osik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah? He's Osik in owning Shabbos for his own owning. He's Osik in his Simchas Yom Tov, so he shouldn't have to go spend Shabbos elsewhere and lose his Simchas Yom Tov and lose his owning Shabbos. That's one svar that they throw out. And others say no, he has an obligation to perform the Mila. If the Mila is going to be Docha Shabbos, so certainly it's going to be Docha Onig Yom Tov. It's going to be Docha Simchas Yom Tov. And part of being a Mola is Mesiris Nefesh. And part of Mesiras Nefesh means that some occasions you have to not spend Shabbos or Yontif with the family in order to perform the mitzvah of a bris milah. And I'll just do one last case here, because there's so much here, but one last case of the Minchas Yitzhak talks about, let's say the bris milah is going to be the cause of Chil Shabbos. That you know you're going to, let's say there's a conservative shul here and people are going to drive. Now there's a bris milah, so people are going to drive to the simcha. It's going to cause more chil shabbos. So should Amol avoid doing that in order to prevent additional chil shabbos? So is that considered lifnei iver? Is that considered messiah be'aveira? So Minchas Yitzchak says clearly it's not a problem lifnei iver, because if they don't use you as a mole, they use someone else. Lifnei iver is only true when the only way you are the only way to give him whatever he needs, the iser. But since if he doesn't use you, he's going to do something else, someone else, that's not a problem with neighbor. He says not consider Messiah be'aver either, because you're not directly helping them. And furthermore, he says, even though there's a mitzvah of tochacha and you should tell people to be mafrish from an aveira, he says it's not shaykh by a mumar. But when a person's a mumar, a person's a conservative reform, they're bechinas mumar, therefore he paskins that one mol should go to such a place, even though chil Shabbos will be result. He's on top of that, he says as well, because if you don't do it, who knows who else is going to do it? Maybe some doctor will do it, and they won't have the bris milah done properly. And for those reasons, he says that a mol should go to such a place on Shabbos. I know there's a lot here, a lot of information, a lot of halach l'maisa, but this is, again, in a nutshell, the various dinim as it relates to chil Shabbos and bris milah performed on Shabbos. We'll stop here. Next week, Yemirat Hashem, we'll do Asi Dechalos Asay.